for looking at state and national voting policy news as the 2022 midterms approach. The Wisconsin Elections Commission says that state Republicans have made the largest ever request for voter data, so large it will be effectively impossible to complete. Wisconsin Republicans are also pushing against the use of ballot drop boxes. Three lawsuits are underway, as well as a push for rule changes from the state legislature. On the national scale, President Biden is pushing to get his two voting bills passed, though the filibuster will likely have to be overturned in order for that to happen, which today looks unlikely. We're talking about the latest news on voting in Wisconsin and around the country, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on the tensions between Republican lawmakers here in the state and the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission? Do you think there needs to be a large-scale review of voter data before the fall election, as Republicans have requested? How about ballot drop boxes, a big particular issue lately? Should they be allowed? What should the rules be if so, or do you not like them? Do you want to see federal laws changed, which looks, again, not that likely as the way things currently look at the Senate anyhow? You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Kathleen Dolan is a distinguished professor of political science at UW-Milwaukee. Kathleen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
Lots of news out there related to voting laws. Let's zoom in on Wisconsin first, Kathleen, and these ballot drop boxes in particular. As I mentioned, three lawsuits, movement in the state legislature trying to clarify rules. What are your thoughts on the rise of ballot drop boxes this year and the role they play?
Well, ballot drop boxes are a tool that some localities around the country had used even before the 2020 election, but they became much more popular and much more important during the global pandemic. And if you remember, in November of 2020, that was before we had a vaccine. So we were in a place in the pandemic where people were told to distance, not to gather. And so in-person voting became less attractive to people. And so ballot drop boxes were a safe and convenient way for people to vote. Because of former President Trump's very unfortunate attempts to politicize and raise questions about the ways in which people cast their ballots, ballot boxes have now become a sort of political question and a political issue. And really what I should say is they've become a partisan question because Republicans here in Wisconsin and all around the country have tried to raise questions about their use, and have, many states have passed laws to either ban their use or to severely limit their use. And it is one more really unfortunate consequence of the way in which, not just for whom we vote, but literally how we vote, the mechanisms by which we vote have become partisan in a way they have never been before.
Looking more generally at the elections here in Wisconsin, we had this Legislative Audit Bureau report looking at the 2020 election, suggesting a bunch of changes, many of them to clarify things like ballot boxes and how witness signatures are confirmed on absentee ballots. And then we have the Gableman investigation looking into claims of wrongdoing in the election. Do you see a need for some kind of clarifications for changes in election law without necessarily diving into some of the partisan issues you were just outlining?
So, Rob, I think the first thing that we should remember and that your listeners should know if they're not familiar is that the vast majority of officials who have responsibility for elections in the United States are local elections officials. The federal government has relatively broad guidelines. States and localities are the ones who administer elections. And so here in Wisconsin, like in every other place, local elected officials have a lot of sort of leeway about how they administer their elections. And so what the Audit Bureau's report suggested is that there might be circumstances where there could be clarification of language about, who makes the decisions or under what conditions. Some of the criticisms of their use, has been to move in a direction where the state legislature would like to have rules or laws either banning them or severely limiting them. And that would deny to local administrators of elections their control Republicans are usually about local control. And this is sort of yet another example of Republicans in the state wanting to control things at the state level when they don't like the way local officials have done them. So again, I think the problem here is the very partisan nature of this, right? The Gableman investigation continues despite the fact that there is zero evidence of any concern or any legitimate argument about the election here in Wisconsin. And all of these attempts are either trying to obfuscate or to put, you know, some veneer of credibility on what is a baseless claim.
On a related note, we've heard from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It's a group of three Democrats, three Republicans, saying that a group of state Republican lawmakers requested large amounts of voter data. The head of the Wisconsin Election Commission said it's the largest request for data she's ever seen, would likely be impossible to complete, includes maybe some confidential voter information that they can't release. Is this just fitting into that pattern you were just talking about?
Yes, it is. I think this. So one thing about this request is that it is, you know, largely disingenuous. It is not terribly likely that these state legislators believe that having these data will help them in some way make improvements to our election system. Instead, this is an attempt to try to paralyze the Election Commission, as you say, with a request for data that they couldn't possibly ever meet because it's just so overwhelming and large. And I think it's telling that the request does not come with clear discussions of how those data would be used, because it isn't a substantive data request. This is simply one other way to try to paralyze the Election Commission, whether it's through direct lawsuits or requests for information like this.
Talking to Kathleen Dolan, distinguished professor of political science at UW-Milwaukee, looking at possible changes in elections and election laws here in Wisconsin and around the country. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are there changes you would like to see in Wisconsin? Do you think it should be easy to vote absentee here in the state? Should local governments, local election officials have the ability to use drop boxes? Are there particular rules you'd like to see surrounding the use of those drop boxes at the national level? A couple pieces of legislation stalled right now in the Senate. President Biden making a push for them. Looks like a change that would be needed. Getting rid of the filibuster on these issues, not likely to happen. Should it? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Let's look at what's happening on the national scene, starting with a listen to President Biden speaking in Atlanta earlier this week.
Protect our democracy. I support changing the Senate rules, whichever way they need to be changed to prevent a minority of senators from blocking action on voting rights.
Kathleen, that seems like a tall order. Now, one of the senators who'd have to agree to do that, Senator Kyrsten Sinema, said today, she says she supports voting changes, not getting rid of the filibuster to pass them, though. So without changing the filibuster, is anything likely to happen here?
No, honestly, it's not. As you said, if Senator Sinema is not on board with the rest of the Democrats, then it would require a Republican to work with the Democrats to change the rules of the chamber, which is pretty unlikely. And it is the case that the two bills that are in front of the Senate are both, in different ways, but are both important to making sure that all eligible Americans have access to the polls and to vote. And again, I would suggest to our listeners that when we give so much administration of elections to state and local governments, one of the things we end up having is the reality that people's abilities to vote and the circumstances under which they can vote differ simply based on where they live. So we've had 19 states already in 2021, since the 2020 election, we've had 19 states pass a myriad of laws that restrict and limit and sort of make more difficult for people the exercise of the right to vote. There are other states that have expanded the right to vote and expanded opportunities for voter registration and ballot access. And so we are becoming a nation, right, in which people who live in certain states have an easier time voting, and we have millions of people who live in states where it is much more difficult. And I think one of the things that President Biden was trying to articulate the other day was that those sorts of things shouldn't happen, that there should be basic national standards for the ways in which elections are administered, and you know, to make sure that everybody has at least the same level of access to voting.
And the Freedom to Vote Act, one of the two pieces of legislation installed in the Senate, would set a lot of those standards you're talking about when it comes to how absentee voting laws work and lots of other stuff. But then there's that local control thing. Traditionally, as you were saying earlier, state and local governments take the lead on this, and there's a lot of resistance, hesitation to hand that kind of power to the federal government. Is there really a case to overcome that local control in this situation?
Well, you can have both. I think it's overly simplistic to suggest it's one or the other. You know, at this point right now, the federal government lays standards for voting, right? You cannot abridge voting based on age or sex or race. There are broad outlines that the federal government makes, and then states and localities administer elections with those guidelines. If we were to add some administrative rules, whether it's, you know, a consistent method of voter registration or a consistent method of absentee voting, then localities would be able to administer their elections in line with those standards. So, I mean, I guess what one thing, you know, as I always have my students think about, and we can ask our listeners, you know, do we want a world in which it is, you know, almost automatic to register to vote in some states, and in other states, people have access to voter registration offices 3 hours a day, 2 days a week, and nothing online. So, you know, again, the experience, if I am somebody with the legal right to vote, should government be able to make it that hard for me, whether it's to register or to vote? And are we all entitled to some basic and baseline protections of our access to the ballot? And so localities will always administer elections, but is it that much to ask that they do it within some basic national standards?
Talking to Kathleen Dolan, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at UW-Milwaukee, looking at some of the latest voting news in Wisconsin and at the federal level. You can join in at 800-642-1234. In Washington, do you think Democrats should overturn the filibuster in order to get things done on two different voting laws, or should the filibuster rule remain in place? Do you agree with Democrats' proposed voting legislation? How about here in Wisconsin? Should drop boxes be available as an option for local election officials? How easy should it be to vote absentee? And you heard Kathleen's question. Should we have the same kind of voting laws, whether you live in Wisconsin or Wyoming or Washington? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with UW-Milwaukee political scientist Kathleen Dolan about voting, with debates over voting laws here in Wisconsin and around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Aura is with us in Evansville. Aura, hi.
Hi. I think this whole voting rights thing is utter insanity. These legislatures passing these draconian rules to keep people from voting. I just don't understand how this can even be happening when it's a fundamental right of an American citizen to vote. And furthermore, that electoral college, you know, that makes people's votes not even count sometimes. So I think it should be a popular vote, and I think it should be administrated by the federal government.
Aura, thanks for the call. Kathleen, Aura worried, she says, about restricting votes and not well about the electoral college either.
Yes, you know, the Electoral College mechanism for electing a president is something that we generally have conversations about every 4 years, if only because people ask why we still use it. But in the last, you know, 22 years, the Electoral College has become more present in our thinking, right? We've had two circumstances where the person who did not win the popular vote won the Electoral College vote and became president, George W. Bush in 2000 and Donald Trump in 2016. And so we ask questions all the time about whether a mechanism that was added to the Constitution in 1791 is really still the right mechanism for a country this large. And this diverse. So Aura's question is hers and a position shared by many others.
Thanks for the call. We'll go next to Steve in Friendship. Steve, hi.
Hi. I was just wondering, how is it, can we vote some of these Republicans out of the office for wasting taxpayers' money? Is there, because some of these constituents are just representing their party and not the people who they represent.
Steve, thanks for the call. And Kathleen, I think for some people that'll raise another. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, you know, Steve raises an important point on which we haven't touched yet, which is the gerrymandering, mm-hmm. the severe gerrymandering of the state legislative districts here in Wisconsin. So gerrymandering, for those who may not be familiar, is the intentional drawing of the lines of legislative districts to advantage a particular political party. And here in Wisconsin, 10 years ago after the 2010 census, the state legislature gerrymandered the districts in such a way that they hold about 67% of the legislative seats in both chambers. And that is despite the fact that they actually have received a minority of the votes of the popular votes, if you look at votes as they're cast for Democrats and Republicans statewide. So Wisconsin is one of the most severely gerrymandered states. So it is unfortunately the case that the answer to Steve's question is that there's not a lot that people who live in districts with Republican legislators, that not much they can do at this point because the sort of Republican voter to Democratic voter ratio in those districts is so lopsided. Certainly, you know, the statewide offices or governor, lieutenant governor, are places where the sort of direct popular vote can make more of a difference. But we are looking now, particularly since the state Supreme Court has said essentially that the maps they will approve will not be fundamentally different from the ones we're using now. This Republican advantage is baked in for another 10 years at least.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Mike next in Sun Prairie. Mike, hello.
Hello. I have a quick question. I keep hearing in the news that it's these voting laws are being passed are disenfranchising certain groups of people, but they never really explain how. I don't understand. I mean, pretty much you have to have an ID to do anything in this world anymore. I was hoping somebody could explain why it's disenfranchising a certain amount of people.
Thanks for the call, Mike. So voter ID and other laws, Kathleen, how do they disenfranchise if they do, say, minority voters?
Sure. So Mike raises voter ID, which is, you know, interestingly, was very controversial probably 5 to 10 years ago and actually has become sort of less visible as we focused on other things. Voter ID laws allow states to define for themselves what kind of ID is acceptable. In most states, that is often a driver's license, a military ID, a passport, something like that. The evidence suggests to us that there are ways in which it disenfranchises the elderly, the handicapped, the disabled, and minority voters, because those are people who are less likely to have a driver's license or a passport. And so states have to have mechanisms by which they can make IDs available to people so that they can vote. But that is not the easiest thing, right? I mean, having a driver's license from the time you're 16 is a lot easier than when you're 80 and you have given up your driver's license and now you have to get some other form of identification. So that speaks just very briefly to voter ID. But what I would like to address is Mike's broader question that people don't often explain how these different mechanisms can advantage or disadvantage certain groups. Voter ID, we have a lot of evidence of the impact. What I think is interesting as the use of drop boxes and early voting and other mechanisms of convenience for voters, how after the 2020 election, those have become very partisan. And by that, I mean that former President Trump saying that early voting is sketchy and drop boxes should be illegal. all of that Republican opposition to these tools that make it easier for people to vote, they have adopted a belief that those mechanisms to make things easier advantage Democrats somehow, and they have done it with absolutely zero evidence. And so the interesting thing is, if we think about an early voting period or a local drop box that makes it convenient, how is that not also convenient for Republican voters? How does that not help people in rural communities? How does that not help people who might be elderly or infirm and don't leave the house very often? November is often a bad weather time in many states, right? So if we let people vote by mail, if we let them vote a month early, there is no evidence in political science that mechanisms of convenience help or hurt one political party. And so one of the things that Republicans are running the risk of doing is starting this battle against convenient voting mechanisms without any evidence of whether it will actually help or hurt them. And so they have dangerously politicized voting without any clear understanding of the underlying issues.
Thanks for that call. And Kathleen, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Kathleen Dolan is Distinguished Professor of Political Science at UW-Milwaukee. She talked to us today about national voting proposals, possible changes in the works here in Wisconsin, and other voting news. Keep following voting stories here in Wisconsin over at WPR.org. We talked about redistricting and gerrymandering a bit. You can find the WPR reports podcast mapped out while you're there.